you want to kick us off today?
Horatio.
I thought you were going to welcome the show.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Boys Gone Wild.
It's not as easy as it looks.
And welcome to another episode of Boys Gone Wild with me, Andrew Cohen, and my regular co-host, Horatio Gould. How are you feeling, Horatio?
Average view duration of episode.
That's a weird way to feel.
Average view duration of this episode is going to be 5 seconds. They're going to hear you opening, and then it's going
to... At least they listen to all of it.
Yeah, as opposed to when
maybe they tuned in just to hear me, and as soon as you started talking, then they're off.
Potentially.
So is that you can read a statistic in more than one way.
It's true. Got another celebrity shirt on today.
This is Adams.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Looking
celebrity shirt.
Looking metropolitan. Well, it's a
short sleeve.
Yeah, it's come from a sexuality actor kind of thing going on.
It's
Soho.
Yeah. But as I arrived up, Horatio was putting shoes on.
Yeah.
And I see that as foul play.
Sort of a green gazelles suede, which won't last long.
I would have preferred a warning because it makes me look like a sandaled footed freak.
Well, I guess it's like I occasionally wear shoes on the pod, and it's like I feel sometimes there's a respectability to it because I know it's in our bedroom, but it doesn't look like it's in my bedroom.
We don't sleep together.
It's in my bedroom. It does look like a studio, and I do think the sandals consistently, I think that undermines the studio feel. So I do think sometimes bringing shoes, it's just his respectability to the audience.
Yeah.
Who we've disrespected for years. And I think sometimes I think you speak differently. Remember when I used to wear trackies for a long period? That was lockdown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were loose.
I was loose.
Yeah, you were saying some horrible things.
Yeah, and I had to start wearing jeans again. Mm. Just as a way of kind of pulling
it's like waking
me,
up,
pulling me back into focus. I just feel like today, the mood I'm in today, I'm like, I think shoes, I need to be grounded. Right. I need to be ready for work, you know.
Well, you're ready for a responsible broadcast.
Exactly. Yeah. This is thousands of people are dying.
You're ready to say what you mean and mean what you say.
Exactly.
Well, it's a bit like doing your ablutions in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like washing your face and brushing your teeth is wearing shoes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I see that as putting on trousers for this podcast.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sure it's happened once or twice, but I've never worn shoes.
I swear you have, but maybe you haven't. I'm sure.
It used to be those sliders.
Yeah.
It was Crocs. Remember, it went from Crocs to sliders to these. That was the evolution. It did get slightly smarter, in fairness to me.
Yeah, I guess maybe you haven't.
Because there were the disheveled Crocs, there were the Daisy Crocs, and then there were the kind of broken sliders, and then these kind of more brown leathery number, which does imply a slight element of class.
It's got a Messiah, Jesus sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sermon on the Mount.
But in reality, every single episode of this podcast, you can see my socks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is kind of embarrassing.
Well, it's just an interesting tidbit to bring up at dinner parties.
Yeah.
It's a good bit of trivia.
100% of the podcast, you can see my socks.
Yeah. And then you've got... So how fat are your trousers today then, my friend?
They're that fat.
Mine are definitely fatter than yours.
Yeah, you're on the... That's, yeah, your trousers
that's on
look
the
fatter fat.
Side. Yeah, do you want to bring it up? Let's see how fat
yours are.
So, are these the fattest jeans you own at the moment?
No.
You've got fatter ones?
Yeah, I've got fatter ones. You've seen the fat. I haven't bought any new clothes in about 7 months. You know the fat ones.
When you were deciding what pair of jeans to wear, what made you decide to go for the less fat option today? Is it because the sun's coming out and you think...
I'm thinking it wasn't necessarily the fatness of the jeans, more the colour.
Yeah.
It was more the vibrancy. I've actually... Oh, dear. If it comes during the podcast, I'll put it on because you'll find it hilarious.
You get a delivery?
Yeah, I've got like a cardigan on the way.
Oh my goodness.
So it's going to be really...
It's Barry Keoghan in a junk interview. That is what you're building.
I am accidentally turning into Barry Keoghan the more I think about it.
You know, you're an Irish guy in show business. There's a notebook. I mean, Andrew Scott, it's not far off.
It's not far off. Everything I hate, I'm becoming.
I can see you doing a play. Yeah, you, Paul Mescal, Barry Keoghan, Andrew Scott.
Get on, don't we?
I can see all four of you in like a National Theatre play with no props. All staging.
Yeah.
It's just raw dog, you know, homoerotic sex. Well, it wouldn't be shagging, it would be the implication.
Yeah.
It would be actually the emotional aftermath of gay sex. That's what the play would be.
Yeah. It would be trying to leave the apartment after a one night stand that's also like an orgy.
Yeah, and it's also like it's a comment on the kind of feeling of loss you feel after a one night stand and the feeling of emptiness.
And an attempt to find togetherness in that loss by maybe they're stuck. It's a bit like that episode of Peacher where they get stuck in the nether zone.
Yeah.
They get forced into this apartment and then they're forced to confront the awkwardness.
Yeah.
And then I think they actually find each other at the end of it.
So Paul Mescal was in the gay film with Andrew Scott, right? You know, you've
seen
it.
Yeah,
and he's not gay, right?
not. He's like boinking bridges, isn't it? Isn't he?
Yeah. Is he bisexual? He's probably bi. Now, what do you think about? What do you think about a straight man playing gay in that sort of way?
All good.
So if it's two super straight guys,
I'm all good with a lot of actors playing a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
I come on the wrong side of history.
No, I do agree, but then I guess if it was like a full on gay film,
full on gay.
Like that Andrew Scott Paul Mescal film.
Yeah,
which is like
So
it's like it's an hour and 45 minute film about being gay. And what it's like being gay. If they were both super straight, if they were Ray Winston straight, do you know what I mean? I think I can understand the argument for not, you know, because I thought I was on your side of the argument, but then in my head, I as a thought experiment, I was like, if Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott weren't gay, that would sort of, I don't know why it would annoy me, but it would just like, it would rub me the wrong way for some reason.
I don't know why it would rub you the wrong way.
Because it's sort of like, if they were like, if they're full-on geezers,
yeah,
right?
Ray Winston and Vinnie Jones.
Okay, now you said that. I mean,
that's amazing.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I take back everything I've
said. I
guess
if it's Ray Winston and Paul Mescal, the scales aren't balanced. Yes. Yeah. Surely the answer is in the performance. You know, if geezers, as straight as a motorway geezers, if they can get there, then why can't they play it? And surely the purpose of the actor is to get into that character. And if they can, they can.
Yeah.
Ray Winston wouldn't be the best pick for the film because it's likely he couldn't deliver the kind of the 20-year-old gay man.
Probably not.
He's more suited to slightly better things, slightly different things, sorry. So it's the proof's in the pudding, actually, is what I'd say.
So this episode is going to come out on Friday. It's going to come out on my birthday, the 27 moons, not moons. What's an old timey way of saying years? 27. It's been 27 moons since my, not moons.
Rotations suns. Around suns is better
because since my birth what was your view on birthdays? We probably discussed
I think they should be illegal past the age of 24.
So it's coming up to my birthday and I think progressively my birthdays are becoming more and more of a pain, and I do think, and I don't know if you agree with me, I don't think they should be banned after the age of 24.
Right.
I think that once you I do think, and maybe this is quite toxic of me, but I do think they're sort of for women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course they are.
Birthdays, we should kind of restrict those to women. That's for the thing for the
is,
girls.
No one's,
birthdays are for the girls.
Yeah. They absolutely
they're
are.
They're not for the boys.
Of course women own birthdays. That's an absolute
No, but
fact.
I mean, they should be, but only but girls but should celebrate them.
I think
them.
That here's the thing.
Yeah.
You just don't plan anything.
Yeah.
It's very easy because I think it's easy for men. We sit here and we complain about birthdays, but then we plan stuff. Just go, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
It's been done.
Have you done it before?
No. Adam did it this year. You came and went. You'd have no idea he was even there. You wouldn't know.
The silent assassin.
He delivered.
Yeah. Here's me thinking, when is Adam's birthday must be coming up?
You've been thinking about it a lot.
And I've been waiting for his birthday, but he's
messaging
managed,
me.
He slipped past. He gave me the shoulder. He went one way and then
bam, puts on the invisibility cloak.
No, I think birthdays are for girls.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I think a grown man shouldn't have a birthday.
Unless it's a round number. Unless it's a 30 or 40 or 50. Have,
yeah.
Arguably, I don't think women should be allowed to celebrate their 80th birthday. That's for men. 70 if both, 60 if men.
Yeah.
50 if both, 40 if men, 30 if both, and then we're hitting
the
30
anyway.
Oh, so
you just keep switch.
No. So women get every
birthday.
I think
they get every year.
They get every birthday, but they're not, and because they get every birthday, they're not allowed to celebrate their 80th and their 60th because that's just for men.
Okay, that's for
the
boys.
But then men don't get anything else other than the round numbers. But on the 50th and the 70th, women can also celebrate it.
Yeah.
Is someone writing this down?
I think men shouldn't have birthdays past the age of 21. That should be your last birthday as a man.
21 is quite tight.
21 is your...
What about 25?
No, 21. It's your 21st birthday. I'm a man now.
I can drink and gamble.
Not have birthdays.
Yeah.
This is my last birthday. But instead, you have sort of testimonials in your key. So on your 30th,
right,
you don't have a birthday. Yeah. You have a testimonial.
Can you define a testimonial?
Well, it could be a sort of charity soccer match. But it's sort of any. It's called a testimonial. So what you, in the way that a birthday, you can do what you want with
it. Yeah.
it's not your 30th birthday, it's your 30th testimonial. It's sort of a...
So it's not like naming a park bench after you.
Well, but it could be. It could
maybe
be.
Maybe after the... Is it an event?
It's similar to a birthday, but it has a different energy to it. It's much like when a player... It's a respect.
It's not frivolous.
When players retire, there's a testimonial. Yeah. It could enjoy some sort of lighthearted sporting
event followed by a toast
and dinner with speeches about how important you are to them.
Now that sounded more extra than the girl's birthday.
It is extra, but it's your testimonial, and it's you only have it like once every, you know.
I like the rule that beyond the age of 21 every male birthday should be either a cricket or a golf match
or football
followed by like a banquet. I think football doesn't work,
but
for a
you
testimonial.
Can't I think just no longer calling it a birthday. I think that would change the way, you know.
No, I appreciate that. It brings a bit more honour and respect to the man aged above 21. Yeah, because maybe we do want to celebrate. Yeah. We want to look. Birthdays are about celebrating ourselves, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's why people like them.
Yeah,
but I think men struggle with that past the age of, you know.
But if it was called a testimonial,
would be like, right, yeah. It's more like you put your bat up when you've got the century. That's kind of what it is. It's like when you're out at the crease and you're celebrating your 50 runs.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Just your birthday. It's like
a testimonial.
You're dipping your cap to everyone that's helped you get there.
Exactly.
I like that. I prefer that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do much for my birthday.
Well, this is a classic Horatio move. Yeah. This is how I live most of my life with things. He made a WhatsApp group maybe 3 weeks ago with like a few people, not loads, going, can you put a poll of when you're free, Friday or Saturday? Completely fair. I was like, wow, this is one of the most prepared I've seen him.
Yeah.
That's all we've heard, of course. So it's now the week of, and I've got in my calendar Horatio Friday.
I mean, I guess because maybe it's almost selfishness to not celebrate your birthday, because in many ways, a birthday is not fun for the person having it in many ways. It's like a good opportunity. Because I've enjoyed myself at so many other people's birthdays.
With women, but men it is.
Because I've enjoyed myself at so many other people's birthdays. It feels selfish that I never have a birthday, you know, because it's a nice opportunity for other people to enjoy themselves.
Do you not like the attention?
Well, to be honest, you like attention, I get my fill. Do you know what I mean? Like, birthdays also, look, I understand extra girlies celebrating it. I actually respect it.
Yeah,
you know, if you're extra every day, be extra extra on your birthday. But birthdays really... what they're really important to should be like...
The unsung hero.
Yeah, like nurses or like carers. A carer's birthday should be like a sweet 16.
The parameters 16. Of who can celebrate a birthday are getting narrower and narrower in our country.
And I feel... I went to Paris last weekend. Like...
Yeah. What? How dare you? How dare you celebrate a birthday?
But it's more like I'm fine. It's not like...
You're seeing the sights.
No one's looking at me and saying he needs to learn... When to celebrate. So he needs to take a load off. He needs to...
Up the sacre coeur. It's like,
you know,
we don't need to go out to...
It's about time the unsung hero, you know, come forward.
Maybe you should donate your birthday to a more deserving individual.
To a carer. I think I might donate my birthday to a carer.
Yeah, so maybe you could go into a local hospital and then surprise them with like, congratulations, your birthday's this Friday. I'm giving you my birthday. And then they can have the night, but it has to be with your friends. Can't be with their friends. And you go on a pub crawl around Hackney.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I also like the energy of being upset at people. I think being upset at people for not wishing you happy birthday is funny.
Yeah.
I've never understood it, but I do think there's something...
There's a transitional phase.
It just makes me laugh. Like,
yeah, because it seems like the most childish and pathetic thing in the world.
I can understand it if you're upset at your grandkids. I guess I can re-understand that, maybe.
Yeah, family. If you forget to wish your sister a happy birthday, fair.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a mate, someone that you like played on the football team with at school, maybe not. But that's the thing about the Facebook wall.
Yeah.
The decline of Facebook has actually made people feel a lot worse on their birthdays. This is an effect social media.
I don't know if... I think we've probably got past that now. Because I think my last birthday I had four.
No, normal people have. I'm talking about the general population.
Fine.
So people aren't... A lot of kids, you know, most of... I wouldn't know the age group.
Facebook mums.
Probably 27, 28 is when, under 28, there's a hard drop off of Facebook. Above, people are still using Facebook. They're posting stories, they're going to farmers markets in Billingshurst.
Yeah.
They're trying
to
grow sales.
That seems quite specific.
And they're selling houses.
That seems like it's one individual.
Yeah, I wonder who. But they're still on Facebook. So they're, imagine them when they've gone in the early days of Facebook. Wow. Yeah. Look at all these friends I have, because everyone you'd see on the little right-hand side, it'll be, it's someone's birthday today.
Would you know what your record ever was? Like I was breaking three figures.
Yeah, times. I think I broke three figures, and that was it.
Yeah.
I never, you know.
Yeah, I never broke four
a figures. 1,000. It'll be every one of your friends. No, yeah. I think like, but I was like tight on the 100, like,
yeah.
maybe 150 yeah. on I don't know, my 15th. What a year. Yeah. Imagine the people who have had that. They've been busting three figures regularly, and they're still using Facebook in the way that they were, but suddenly all their birthday wishes are just decreasing as time goes on. I think about them regularly. I weep for them in bed.
It's enough. I guess it represents aging, doesn't it?
It does.
It's a feeling of like decay.
Well,
death,
part of what we're talking about is the slow march to death.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to celebrate your birthday past a certain age because your life's no longer worth celebrating.
Yeah.
Because that, now you're just, you've done the growing. Now you're just alive.
Yeah.
Now you're just alive and slowly decaying.
Well, there's the growing, celebrate growing.
Yeah.
Then there's you're just alive.
Don't celebrate decay.
And then it comes back around where it's like,
wow, you're still kicking.
You're still alive.
Fair play.
It's a bell curve. There's a sort of...
How does it look?
Grow.
Very
you're
high.
Just fucking alive. You're still alive.
It's like that and then there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that lovely dip.
Yeah.
We do come up with some stuff.
Yeah.
That's a graph.
That's
I'd
good.
Like to see.
That's good stuff. But let's talk about some actual stuff.
Yeah. Do you want to do Louis Walsh, I think?
Yeah.
Because he's been nattering on.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about this in maybe the last two episodes because this has been flying around for a while.
It's been on the docket.
Yeah. So, Big Brother, I haven't actually seen this. I've only seen maybe three or four clips of Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne, who I guess at the moment be the running for this week's Boys Gone Wild, I guess.
Yeah.
If last week, who we should promote actually, because the Patreon, we talked about the Man with the Iron Lung for 45 minutes.
It's one of the best episodes. It's one of the best podcasts we've ever done.
There's
one topic. Was it more than 45?
The beginning is 20 minutes without it, and then it's just.
If you want 45 minutes of the man. About the man with the iron lung. A lot of people say...
He's one of my favourite people.
It's true.
I've thought about him a lot since.
So have I. And Horatio and I have both been quietly obsessed with him and we've never really discussed him.
Last week with Man with the Iron Lung. This week, I would probably give it to Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne.
It feels like we're not particularly on the pulse with culture, but of course we're not.
Because I've only seen their clips of them going on Big Brother and basically... It feels relatively unprecedented. This sort of like we grew up with Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne, so I feel like my main TV watching mainstream times, they were kind of dominating it.
You used to go to the Triangle Place, squash and tennis, and then come back and then have an Indian takeaway and watch X Factor.
Exactly.
My parents divorced. Please continue.
But on this show, you see them and they're talking so loosely. And being just speaking as if the cameras aren't there, but clearly they know the cameras are there.
Yeah.
Slagging off James Corden, slagging off Simon Cowell, you know,
Jedward
getting it.
Yeah.
But I really respect the kind of way that they're like, we've sort of reached the end of our road.
Yeah.
What a run we've had.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck anymore. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit like they're bringing everyone down with them.
Yeah, why the fuck not? And it's just these two old queens. I love the cattiness of it. The way they talk to each other. There's sincere gossiping.
No one has... Whenever someone has asked Louis about someone, he has always used the word vile. He calls everyone vile, which is one of the vile words you can use.
Yeah, he's trigger happy with vile.
And it comes in. I mean, at first, you know, he was incredibly unlikable from what I could see. I was like this horrid, rancid man.
Yeah.
And like, didn't he get done for being inappropriate and stuff?
Yeah.
Because he's like, the guy's gay, isn't he? I know he's not, but...
But he was gay in the fucking...
He was gay in the 90s. What's the difference now?
Exactly.
But he's there. He's out there grabbing.
Is he still doing it?
He's out there grabbing. I know. I don't think he's still doing it, but he was definitely...
He's a music producer, right?
Do you think he's just trying to fit into the culture?
No, but it's just more like, don't judge a, you know... Don't judge, you know. I was running through stereretypes and I was like, too offensive.
Not that one.
Do you know, weirdly, I was like, it's like judging a Jewish guy for eating a bagel, which is weird. Even though I don't think I've seen a Jewish person eat a bagel actually.
It would be too on the nose.
I don't.
For God's sake, what are we doing? Move on. Why are we on? Why are we doing this now? There's no reason to be there.
Crazy.
There's no reason to be there. We're talking about Louis Walsh. There's no reason to be in this area right now. Let's just move on now. So he's gay, isn't he? I know. Yeah. Look.
What, are you thinking he's faking being gay?
No, he's straight.
What?
He's straight.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's
yeah.
not. What?
Let's just, I love, we always pull our phone out at the
what?
Same moment. Louis Walsh, sexuality. Maybe it's like he's never
no.
come out.
Bro's gay.
Yeah, I know, but no. He's been done for, like, inappropriately touching women. I know that could be, you know, in a non-sexual
yeah,
way.
Yeah, but
it's
if he's gay, it's not inappropriate. It's very appropriate.
That's all we've got time for.
Or he could be bi.
Celebrity Big Brother contestant Louis Walsh likes to give his private life private, saying, "I think your private life's private life," when asked about his sexuality in an interview. But the former SVT judge did once tie the knot with Caroline Flack. What?
Yeah, I did see this. This is coming up in my research as well.
Why did... yeah. You know what? Actually, in fairness, it doesn't seem to be clear. I think he's kept it private, and it's like I think he might have acknowledged it in subs. I think he probably is. I thought,
if you keep your sexuality private, you're gay, right? Has anyone kept their sexuality private who's straight? Genuinely.
Yes.
Really?
I've got a great answer, but I can't remember his name.
What?
I've got a great answer.
Who?
I've got an excellent answer.
Help me out.
Oh, what's his fucking name? Right, I'm gonna look up his name very quickly, because you're gonna go, wow. Ready for this, here it comes. Armie Hammer. Wow.
Did he kill you?
Yeah, he's a cannibal.
Yeah,
he likes to eat and fuck.
Yeah, I guess so.
Kept that quiet, didn't he? Kept that private.
Yeah, but he if you asked him if he's straight, he would have been like, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
So
yeah,
it doesn't apply.
Well, in some ways,
you know.
But mostly it doesn't apply.
He was private about the cannibal stuff, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
But if someone says, "I'm going to try and keep my sexuality private," they're not down the line straight.
Historically,
again,
yes.
Ray Winston would never be, "My sexuality
it's
is private."
It's
just unnecessary.
Because of historical inequality.
But it's more, yeah, but also it's just unnecessary. Why would he bring any of that
yeah.
noise to...
Yeah, it's true. Well, Louis probably would have chosen... I mean, he's an old man now.
Yeah.
He would have chosen to keep it quiet in order, because yeah. he thought it might be a problem back in the day. That's
well,
probably
now,
what's happened.
If a lot of people thought maybe I was gay,
you?
And that was getting me roles
Sorry,
on
yeah,
TV
right.
and
You'd
stuff,
be like,
I would be like, if I was asked about sexuality, I'd be like, that's very private to
it.
I'd say private.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd be a straight guy, but in the closet. Or like, just
yeah.
keep that blurred,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I guess it can go one of two ways.
Isn't history interesting?
Yeah. So have you been watching Big Brother?
Yes, I have been watching some Big Brother. Louis, at first...
Is it good coming back?
I watch it. Elle watches it and I'm at work and I'll have an eye
yeah.
on it. I'll
yeah.
keep one of my eyes on it.
Keep an eye on her as well. So
yeah, I'm just
ideas.
Like watching both. Like, you're not getting any yeah. getting ideas, are you? You know, it's Big Brother. Big Brother's Big Brother is Big Brother's Big Brother. That's kind of my review of it. It is what it is. The celebrities aren't, you know.
Three stars.
Yeah. Three. It's back and it's back. The celebrities are, you know, not particularly interesting. There's some. They're not bad. They're not bad snags. Walsh is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Fern Britton, you know, that's probably the second most famous.
Yeah,
she's quite nice.
I know Fern Cotton.
Yeah,
and I used to confuse the two. I can't picture who Fern Britton.
I probably did too, because I don't know many ferns, and
yeah,
I think
and
there's for the amount
Britton
of,
Cotton.
Yeah, and the amount of ferns in the public eye in the UK is vastly disproportionate to the amount that are in the UK in general.
I feel Fern went hard out of fashion as a name.
Hmm. But there's some age gap between Britton and Cotton.
Is there?
I'd give it 15 years.
Mm.
Maybe even 20.
Well, Fern is a weird name because it reminds me of a fern.
As does it me. You know, I hear fern and sometimes like, that's a plant, isn't
what,
it?
When you think of a fern, what do you think of?
I think of a nice spatial leaf.
I think of like a small cacti, weirdly.
Well, that's ridiculous.
What is a fern?
I think a fern is a, you know, a leaf. You know, one of those limp leaves. You know,
yeah.
like it's got one. It's got a stem.
Yeah. yeah.
And then it's got.
It's
loads
not a powerful.
Of, it's got, no. It's
a
like
fern.
I think you could fan well with a fern. If someone was to, on the top of my head, if someone was to run up to me on the street and go, "What's the best plant to fan with?" I think I'd go fern.
But fern isn't a type of plant. I feel it's an umbrella term for. small plants in a way.
It would also be a reasonably good umbrella.
Well, depends. If it's a cactus, then...
Fair.
What is a fair?
You know what? I couldn't have been more bang on.
Yeah, that is... Yeah, of course.
Thick. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Bracken.
Well...
Is a fern a type of thing? Or is a fern an actual plant?
We've got plant in grey. And fern in black.
Okay, fair enough.
Would you like overview, representative species, care, habitat, types?
God.
Types? We can do types.
I'm learning a lot.
So Boston fern. There's loads of kinds of fern. Yeah. So in a way, it is an umbrella term.
Yeah.
You know, there's an awesome fern, a holly fern, a Japanese painted fern.
Yeah. So Louis Walsh, Sharon Osbourne. The first one that I saw them talk about was James Corden.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're speaking to, but he said he's like a name dropper, right?
Yes.
You know, if you drop the names, I'll pick them up for you, was one of the lines, which I've never heard before, but I quite like that.
I did like that, yeah.
It's amazing. Well, I guess maybe they feel emboldened to slag off James Corden because it's maybe a safe space because it's...
How do you answer about Jedward? You know, the nation's heroes.
I'm working my way through.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how... spectacularly hated James Corden is, you know, outside and inside the industry.
Yeah.
He must be awful.
You get brownie points for shitting on him nowadays. Yeah.
He must be terrible.
But this makes me like him a bit more. This weird pendulum.
Yeah.
Because when someone's getting such ridiculous... Well, I think because, you know, it's kind of... Well, John Oliver's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. But I think that's because he wasn't famous in the UK and then was
suddenly
famous.
When you say go under the radar, you mean for...
For people in the UK.
In what sense?
That he's not really famous in the UK.
No, but he didn't make it in the UK.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That he's probably... Because he's... But there's always going to be a thing of, I think, if someone's famous in the UK and then they make it in the US, particularly as a late night host, you're going to be a bit like, dickhead.
No, I don't think that's true.
I don't know. I don't think people like too much American success.
I think James Corden, he is just really disliked by people. I think post Gavin and Stacey, I think it's the relentless stories about...
I wasn't saying that he isn't a dickhead.
Yeah.
Those can go hand in hand.
It's just amazing the amount of stories about him being a dickhead and how freely people feel calling him a dickhead.
Because people feel free to call him it because of when someone is that vastly successful. And I think people, particularly there's an English thing, it's like, oh, you've got a talk show in America. I think it'll be very easy for people to hate him hearing a couple of stories.
Yeah.
Which is what I think has basically happened.
And then he went on that high performance podcast and he does those sort of sincere podcasts where he talks. And he was saying that the best part of his day and the thing he's going to miss is like saying hi to the receptionist. Like when he comes in, he goes, morning. And he goes, morning, James. And it's like... loads of people come out saying that you're an absolute horror show to work for. You've got like Ellen level allegations.
Actually, the only evidence I've seen is actually comes from Anton Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway.
Okay.
Not the classic academic journal you'd expect.
No.
But they did a bit, I think, you know, when they like, you know, they're prankers, they're jokesters.
Yeah.
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 I'd say so.
Is that fair? I think he characterized them as that.
Yeah.
And they do that thing where they'll like get people to say something.
Yeah.
And they'll be in the studio with that massive microphone that's clearly performative when they're going, now tell him he's fat.
Yeah.
But they like, I think it was them, and it was when James was coming in to work in the morning, and they were getting one of the security guards basically to not recognize him and not let him in. You could see the guy's got a temper. The guy was getting pissed off.
Yeah.
Because I think those prank shows are always dangerous. I mean, they don't go out live, but obviously they're edited. But like, he didn't come off well. He wasn't like joking about it. And I mean, you would get frustrated. It's kind of unfair because you're putting him in a situation where there's like this fake thing going on. So you're being like, well, we better react well. But it's like, but we know what's happening. We know this is a prank.
Yeah.
He's just trying to get into work in the morning. And this guy's being a fucking maniac. Yeah.
His picture's on the fucking...
So it's harsh. So it's like, there was a temper there. You could see he's got a temper. But at the same time, I would have a temper in that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know...
I think those pranks are deeply unethical. I mean, I wonder if he has to sign off on them, like...
What, that at one point he'll be pranked? Oh, what, for it to be aired?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Fine. So
he'll be able to veto it.
Fine.
Yeah.
Which, that seems fair enough. But yeah, I feel undermining trust in everyday people.
Yeah.
Via prank shows, because I don't want when someone's being mentored to me thinking is Anton
Deck. Remember when you were on Punk'd and you were really horrible? I was like, yeah, because someone was stealing my car. it is fundamentally unfair.
Yeah,
of being judged for a contrived situation.
And what was the Simon Cowell thing?
Oh, that he'd like, he'd, I think it was more Sharon.
Yeah.
But that he'd, you know, he's just kind of dropped everyone. He's very, he's kind of only interested in certain people and he just kind of, he has no loyalty. He'll drop people. I think it was Sharon.
Which I believe.
That makes complete sense. I that wasn't surprising. But it's just, it's good to hear. It's kind of good to hear from the horse's mouth, I suppose. Yeah. But you're like, what? Simon's aloof and is a bit of a careerist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But they all are. They're, so that's why I didn't like about the, you know.
Yeah, they're all kind of
insane careerists.
Mud people. Yeah. But they, I think it was that Sharon was maybe going to do the masked singer, I think.
Yeah. It's always funny, the stakes.
The stakes are so ridiculous. And I was going to do the masked singer.
No, yeah, and then she didn't do the masked singer.
Because she was meant to do another series of X Factor.
Yeah.
And then Simon then dropped her for X Factor, but then she couldn't do the masked singer. Oh my God. But to be fair, so these people, it's life and death.
Yeah,
and
it is.
You know, it's a lot
of
money.
That's a big gig.
It's a big gig.
Trying to cling on to relevance. That could be your last shot at it.
But then, yeah, Jedward, they just said, you know, a lot of those you feel, you know, James Corden, Simon Cowell, you're punching up. Jedward feels like, why are you bringing them into this?
Aren't they been through enough?
Yeah, they have been through. Well, they're doing like runs in London. Have you seen them? They're doing stuff. They're
what
active.
They
Jedward are active again.
When you say runs, like solo tours?
No, like actual running in London. Genuinely.
Genuinely?
Like, yeah, yeah. They're like doing
like
runs.
A West End run.
I don't take my word completely for this, but I think they've become a bit political.
Have they?
I think they're doing like runs for Palestine.
Okay. I mean, that's a good pivot for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a natural pivot, I think, for going to these two insane to being like, yeah, I trust their political views.
Are they still making music? I don't know.
It's worth a Google, I'm afraid.
It's worth.
I've not, well, because I've seen people at like the Palestine rallies and stuff. I'm only interested in certain people and he just kind of, he has no loyalty. He'll drop people. I think it was Sharon.
Which I believe.
That makes complete sense. that wasn't surprising. But it's just, it's good to hear. It's kind of good to hear from the horse's mouth, I suppose. Yeah. But you're like, what? Simon's aloof and is a bit of a careerist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But they all are. So that's why I didn't like about the, you know.
Yeah, they're all kind of
insane careerists.
Mud people. Yeah. But I think it was that Sharon was maybe going to do the masked singer, I think.
Yeah. It's always funny, the stakes.
The stakes are so ridiculous. And I was going to do the masked singer.
No, and then she didn't do the masked singer.
Because she was meant to do another series of X Factor.
Yeah.
And then Simon then dropped her for X Factor, but then she couldn't do the masked singer. Oh my God. But to be fair, so these people, it's life and death.
Yeah,
and
it is.
You know, it's a lot of money.
That's a big gig.
It's a big gig.
Trying to cling on to relevance. That could be your last shot at it.
But then, yeah, Jedward, they just said, you know, a lot of those you feel, you know, James Corden, Simon Cowell, you're punching up. Jedward feels like, why are you bringing them into this?
Aren't they been through enough?
Yeah, they have been through. Well, they're doing like runs in London. Have you seen them? They're doing stuff. They're
what
active.
They
Jedward are active again.
When you say runs, like solo tours?
No, like actual running in London. Genuinely.
Genuinely?
Like, yeah, yeah. They're like doing
like
runs.
A West End run.
I don't take my word completely for this, but I think they've become a bit political.
Have they?
I think they're doing like runs for Palestine.
Okay. I mean, that's a good pivot for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a natural pivot, I think, for going to these two insane to being like, yeah, I trust their political views.
Are they still making music? I don't know.
It's worth a Google, I'm afraid.
It's worth.
I've not, well, because I've seen people at like the Palestine rallies and stuff. The last song Jedward released was a single in 2020. The last time they released an album was 2019. So they're not making music anymore.
Okay, all right.
Teenage Runaway.
Yeah.
I love that they've just floated a single. They did three singles in 2020, which seems.
Yeah, it's weird that they haven't like pushed on in the TikTok age. You'd imagine. They probably have.
My gripe this week is people that eat food on the go.
Yep.
I was on the train.
Yeah.
I was sitting down and I saw a man stood leaning on the door eating a McDonald's cheeseburger and fries out of like, you know, in a packet thing. Now, there's some excuses where I allow it. I don't know what kind of journey he's on. If he's got a 5 minute train journey, then he's going out somewhere immediately, fine. I get it. And his thing just about qualified as a snack.
Yeah.
That's the important differentiation between snack and meal. Mm-hmm. But you see these maniacs out and about who are eating a full blown meal on the tube. And I'm just wait till you get home.
Yeah.
Wait till you get home. Have we evolved? Are we that insane? Are we that impatient that we can't even take time to enjoy our meals nowadays? Meals on the go shouldn't exist.
I do think it's part of British culture, especially. It's that we have quite little value for sitting down and eating.
Exactly.
Like, and London culture within that, especially.
What? Are you then that much of a rush?
Reflected in like recipe books.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think in France they'd have recipe books.
Where you have to get it done in a minute.
Well, where it's like 15 ways to make a lasagna on the way to the tube.
Yeah, would be like
a recipe book we'll have here. It's like it's such a, everything is about how quickly can you make.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I guess I do agree with you that as a wider cultural issue, it is a problem. But as I am someone who regularly has to do that. You gig during dinner time. So it's either before or after. A lot of time, I'm consistently late for everything anyway. So normally I will be running for a tube eating a four-course meal. You know?
A four-course, yeah. I've seen him do it. It's quite the feat, actually.
I'll be quickly wolfing down oysters.
Yeah.
On the way to
the bus. At least you respect the meal. At least you've got some fine dining.
Tabasco and squeezing lemon in there.
Cracking open lobster claws. Look, that's
not
fine.
All of us have time to sit over a babbling brook. take the wheat out of our mouth.
A massive like Gandalf pipe. Oh yes, life is good. Look, yeah, sure, I agree.
And who was this man?
He was a young working. He was a young professional.
You know, where do you think he's off to be? Do you know what I mean?
That dickhead's off home. It was late. It was late-ish. He was on his way home. He had his bike. The guy was going home. I can tell. But look, yes, obviously there are some situations where it's fair to do.
Sometimes I like to video gamify meals. Occasionally you have to, where it's like you open your inventory.
Like Tetris.
No, but it's more like in like a role-playing game, you open your inventory and it's like chicken.
The things you do in the kitchen, I don't want to hear about.
It's just hellish. Out and about. It's like blueberries. And then it just
your energy levels. Yeah.
Exactly. I'll sometimes do that as like a little boost, you know.
Which is fair enough. But that's not a meal. That's again the snacking aspect.
Yeah.
So it's a story I think I probably mentioned on the podcast, but it's always worth mentioning again because I think it sums up this society, this hellish eating society that we live in.
Yeah.
Is that my friend Adam and I at university, we used to cook in our halls, and then often we'd finish and we'd go and walk down to the local store and get a chocolate sweet treat at the end of it.
In many ways, the walk was as much of a treat as the actual chocolate.
And sometimes you don't realise that until years after. And what you're actually enjoying is a cherished moment with a friend. Not just the sugar and carbs. So we'd walk there.
Yeah.
We'd walk there. We'd pick up our sweet treats. Mm-hmm. And then we'd walk back. And Adam, we'd eat the chocolate bar on the walk back.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Used to infuriate me. Yeah. I was like, for some reason, it's like you've never eaten that chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Because we're sat there at home going, should we go and get some chocolate, right?
Yeah.
In the walk, so by the time you get back home, you've got no chocolate bar. So it's actually like you've gone and got nothing.
Yeah.
Because you've enjoyed it on the walk, which means it never happened. So he's found some sort of time loop, this time vortex, where he never ate that chocolate bar. You never enjoyed the chocolate bar because you've got back to the point where we started with no chocolate bar. Because you've eaten it on the journey to get the chocolate bar.
But he's doing it like the video game thing.
He's doing
where
it like...
click chocolate
he's
bar.
He's doing it like a pig. Who can't control his own appetite for 2 minutes.
You'd probably be quite good at the marshmallow test.
What's the marshmallow test?
You know, the famous psychological experiment.
Oh, for like kids?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. As a kid, I was a fucking disaster.
So you know what the test is, right?
They say don't touch the
marshmallow. Don't touch this marshmallow.
And
if you don't touch a marshmallow for 5 minutes, you get a second marshmallow.
Yeah, and they always...
And it's about the kids, and it's about delayed gratification.
I'd actually be awful at it.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty bad. Previously, I was pretty bad with delayed gratification.
Yeah.
I don't like marshmallows that much.
So maybe you'd be all right.
So I think I'd be fine. Well, actually, to be honest, I'd eat it so I wouldn't have two marshmallows to eat.
You'd wolf it down.
I don't want the other one. I don't want to have to eat two.
Yeah.
Do you like marshmallows?
No.
I think they're for fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
I think they're for creeps.
And I think people overhype them quite a lot as well. Yeah. I mean, fine on a campfire. I mean, a melted marshmallow is not even...
That's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's not about the taste. It's about the vibe.
It's about the experience.
It's about the stick and that.
You ever had s'mores?
Well, that's the thing that seems to be the most delicious thing in according to American cartoons.
S'mores.
S'more. Anyone mind a s'more?
Oh, small marshmallows in a hot chocolate, sure.
Yeah, we're not savages.
Sure.
Tiny ones sure. to add a bit of yeah, je ne sais quoi.
But the big doughy ones.
No.
Oh, put that on fluffy. Yeah.
No. Oh. No, they taste like shit.
No, yeah. Anything that is too purely sugary without yeah. Like a chocolate thing or a fruity correct. Sour type thing. If it's pure, like meringue might be one of the worst things, worst sweet treats ever, probably yeah, yeah, meringue.
Yeah. Oh God,
meringue,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like a marshmallow if you didn't even have the texture.
It's like a marshmallow that's been left out for a week.
for fucking 2 or 3 years.
For 3 years, wow. Yeah. He's added scale.
You found a pot of marshmallows in the wreck of the Titanic.
Yes, right, a long time ago.
I've just watched the Titanic, so the I'm going to be making Titanic references all weekend. I think
the water's going to confuse it. The water's going to confuse it. Because then they'll be soggy, won't they?
Yeah. I was just trying to get a Titanic reference in there.
Why?
Because I watched it recently.
Did you?
And it keeps popping out. I actually have never watched it all the way through. I've only seen clips.
It's a long one. So
it's long.
You've only seen clips, but you've sat down to watch a bit of it and something's happened in the past or what? Because no, you haven't just seen clips.
No, I'd seen clips throughout my life somehow. Yeah. Or it'd been on, but I'd never watched it as a continuous thing.
So right? You never sat down to watch it as a film?
Never, never.
That's, yeah, it's kind
of
crazy.
I don't know how I missed it.
When was the moment that you decided this is the time?
Well, I did listen to a 6-part podcast on the Titanic
before
and the fascinating history context of it, and then I decided, you know,
right, I guess I'll
history pod for the boys, Titanic film for the girls. I'll throw my girlfriend a bone, get brownie points, pretend I'm not interested in it, but then because of the wider historical context,
you're actually doing history when she thinks you're doing emotion.
Look at that. Sorry, I was enjoying it so much my eyes
were
closed.
Yeah, your eyes shut. It's like, so it's win-win. It's the ideal thing.
Exactly.
In your head. And yeah. then you're shedding a tear because of the density of the historical narrative, not exactly. because of this old bollocks yeah. romance thing.
It's good. It's good, yeah. like, the script is a bit hammy, but
it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, the way they built the ship is amazing. And he's such a nerd about the Titanic that, like, the accuracy is amazing.
Apparently. James Cameron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's such a... But I didn't realise that whole crazy thing at the beginning.
What?
Well, so it starts off with, like, old-timey footage of the Titanic leaving. But, like, so it's just literally, like, film reel footage. Mm. Real footage. Okay, so you start by a bit like that. That frames it. Mm. And then it cuts.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then it cuts to underwater things.
Weird.
Weird. And then you're like, okay, is this, I thought it was still real footage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's a Hollywood actor guy in there. It's not like a real dude in there.
Yeah.
And then you have this whole long, and no wonder it's 3.5 hours because there's so much
because
of this shit.
Going back to this. Yeah. And then that's when I did that.
And then they,
thing.
I didn't realize, I had no idea they told it via her remembering shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I've probably watched it 3 times. And every time I come back to it, I'm going, oh, that wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
Oh, that did.
That's crazy.
I didn't make that up.
I mean, something that would have made me die laughing, which is like perfectly set up for it, is the first time you cut back to her after she started telling the story.
They're
right?
Asleep. Yeah.
Because it comes like at a really emotional time.
That's
and she,
when Jack and I went down into the dark and we found our first love.
No, because that was it was a really sad bit when it comes back and she's not looking at them, she's looking out.
Yeah.
And then if and she then comes back, they're just
what? I never thought I'd see him again. But I suppose that's how we all know things to be true. Yeah, I watched it not that long ago, actually.
Yeah.
It's one that, you know, Elle wants to jump on. It's one of those ones, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to relinquish.
It's good, it's good. The last half is really amazing. What he does well is how traumatizing it was. Like, he doesn't shy away from how...
That's true. That sequence is sick.
Yeah, and also what I find the most traumatic about it, the most traumatic bit is when the boat's under and they're all floating in the water, freezing to death.
Mm.
And that feels the most real because when the ship's...
I like that bit.
No, that's amazing.
I'm a sucker for that.
That's amazing.
Bit.
When it turns like that
on.
And people are like flying down.
People are like hitting railings.
But in a weird way, like some of these, there's like a almost majesty to the tragedy of that. That's like majestic.
Right.
In a way that a lot of tragedies, 9/11, you name it, there is an undeniable...
There's a majesty in the deaths that are happening. Where is the freezing
there's
cold water?
There's a majestical quality to these extraordinary visual.
Yeah.
You know,
where it's just freezing in the ocean, isn't?
But then that feels like that is the reality
dying
of it.
Like that.
Is 1,500 people.
Yeah.
God, some, yeah. And even listen to the podcast, the awful stories of like people who survive, they get triggered and then if they hear one of them lived near like a baseball ground and every time he hears like a cheer, he'd get like PTSD because it was the cacophonous drone was like nothing you ever heard.
Jeez.
But you know.
Well, that's what we got to talk about.
Yeah, and they make, I like how, I mean, also when you're writing these things, my pet peeve of mine is it's just like if you're gonna have a bad guy, don't make him that bad. Do you know? Like he's so,
you know,
the
that,
boyfriend.
You know,
he's so like he's such a cunt.
There's that
no
villain.
No one's that much of a cunt.
There's that villain who's
fucking,
like
he's kicking old ladies off. It's
yeah.
Like,
well, he looks a bit like a vampire. But yeah. There's that, you know, there's that villain that's always drawn who's got a pointy face, black slick back hair with a long nose who kind of walks around.
It's like Dracula
sort
of.
Yeah, but there's
archetype.
A different guy, but he's always like.
That sounds like Dracula.
Yeah. Well, it probably is Dracula.
Oh, you mean the actor?
No, yeah, but there's a drawing of like if you were to draw a villain, it looks like him. What's his name?
But Bill apparently, listen to this podcast, it was over-egged the class thing when it came to the boats. It was gendered, obviously, so lots of women and children, not men. But apparently, what was amazing was the amount of like the richest people, a lot of them stayed on the boat and hold themselves very accountable. It wasn't like this.
For what? What do you mean?
When the shit was going down.
Right.
It's been so class tiered the whole boat, but when it came to
who's
going to
get on the boat,
it wasn't actually. It was but it was at the height of that sort of stoicism, Gilded Age sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But like the richest man on the boat, Astor, they're so important that they're a gentleman. You know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking,
even till death,
the people who died the most of the three classes. So there's third class, first class, and second class, right?
I hate that you went 3-1-2, but we'll move on from that.
Yeah. So third class, you only see first and third in the film, right? You see,
I'm going to panic. The
Irish jig, and then the haughty old.
Yeah, no, I know the classes. Yeah, but you're just doing them in non-numerical order.
But it was the second class who died the most because, and it makes sense because they're like, I guess they're like middle England, middle class. They're sort of like. Shopkeepers, doctors, and it physicians. Makes sense because it is like the middle class today. It's sort of they're the ones who'd be the most embarrassed,
right? So they're all like, "Well, I think you,
exactly."
And then you'll say, "Then the other two classes are going to run in." Like, sure, well, fine if he's saying that.
They're either, you know,
And I guess neither are going to feel bad about taking the middle class place. There's no like dipping of the hat. Yeah,
and I probably would die from embarrassment on the Titanic. I'd be in there with the embarrassment.
There's a lot of ways to go on the Titanic. There's freezing to death. There's falling and hitting like a massive bollard. There's drowning. But Horatio Gould died of embarrassment, standing on the platform. The deck just going, I couldn't possibly. Oh! And then die. Yeah.
How do you think you'd have done on the Titanic? Would you have tried to? Because also, if you survive, then every man who survives, then you get. You assume that you killed an old lady to get on that boat.
Yeah, kick kids off the top.
And I guess not many people... It is an honourable death in some ways.
Many ways, I think.
So I guess it's hard to have an honourable death. So you might as well like... But then I'll be young, so I'll be like...
What would be our age?
Yeah, what would be awesome is to be 85 years old.
And you... Yeah, yeah.
Because then that... Isn't that what you... I was just thinking about this. Like, if you're getting into... Getting to the last 10 years of your life, you'd want an opportunity for an honourable death.
I'm going to be looked to sacrifice myself at any
opportunity.
Yeah.
Because it's just a win-win.
Diving in front of buses where there are no pedestrians in the way. But
it's an honourable death.
It's just like, save yourself. that is the dream. Young, I feel like I'd still, I think I'd have too much. Like, come on. Look at me.
I'm a young strapping boy.
I've still got acne. Yeah. Let me on this fucking boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I'd probably, I think the panic would kick in. It'll be a lot of that. A lot of that. And then, you know.
I would be playing music as the shit goes on.
Terrible violin.
I can't play. I've never played violin in my life.
Yeah, pushing them off. I think it's the right thing. Ready, boys? Ready? One last tune, eh, boys? Ready-o? Just as the boat tips over. And everyone's like, can you stop? You can't play.
It's like, right, boys, one last tune.
One last tune, eh? was a man in the corner who said to me.
Imagine four like if it was a modern cruise ship and there was like a diversity.
No musicians.
Well, there was like a diversity breakdance group or like a beatbox.
Diablos.
Like a, imagine like a one of those harmonizing beatboxing.
Yeah.
And, like that. That
yeah. Tears coming out of their eyes as the ship slowly gets swallowed by the ocean. It's true because you know you'd want to go down playing the music that you love with your boys. It's not their fault that the music that you loved isn't appropriate for this situation.
Well, I guess you could do you'd choose the saddest one you'd got.
Yeah, but what's the saddest song a beatboxer has?
Yeah.
That's just slow though, isn't it? Yeah. I think for respect you wouldn't do one of the quicker ones.
We're gonna move over to the Patreones now. Muchos lavos. You better all wish me a happy birthday.
Or on Facebook wall.
Or else I'll be really upset.
That'll be fun.
If you don't wish me a happy birthday, I'll be really hurt.
Yeah. And it's today, isn't it? It's right now.
It'll be right now.
It'll be the morning of your birthday.
Yeah. See you next week.
We did birthdays.
Bye.